Rough Rider Radio is paid for by Yavapai College and is solely responsible for its content.
From the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's time for Rough Rider Radio, a focus on Yavapai College. And now, here's your host for Rough Rider Radio, Kim Capen.
Welcome to Rough Rider Radio, the show about all things Yavapai College, your community college. We have two outstanding guests with us today. First up is Yavapai College Police Chief Gerald Monahan. The chief is fighting the good fight to educate our legislators on how to keep campuses safe, not make them more dangerous. He'll tell us more about that shortly. And later in the show, we'll chat it up with Michael Davis. He's an attorney who's gone up against the mob's best lawyer and lived to tell about it. Mike says, and I quote, "I don't have all the answers, but I do know the right questions." Well, Mike, I know the right questions too, and I'll be asking them. But first up, we're going to take a short break and return with Police Chief Gerald Monahan.
Follow your passion at Yavapai College. Are you interested in the world of numbers, computers, and business? Then the School of Business and Computer Systems is the place for you. Yavapai College's highly trained instructors will guide you in the areas of computer networking, accounting, paralegal studies, hospitality, and more. Combine your creative abilities with the technical know-how at Yavapai College and lay the groundwork for a new career. Visit their website today at yc.edu and learn to do what you love. You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
And we are back with Gerald Monahan. He's the chief of police here at Yavapai College, and a special drop-in guest, Lieutenant Ty Payne. Glad to have both of you here today. You know, there's a lot of stuff going around right now about campus safety. Chief, I really want to touch on very quickly legislation that's been working through the House and may be stalled in this concerns more concealed carry options for students on campus.
Yeah, Kim, the House Bill 2172, which was entitled Non-Lethal Weapon Carry, created some concerns for us. And it was passed in the House committee, went on to the Senate committee where it passed there. We understand now that it maybe has not moved forward to the floor for a vote. But we're anxiously watching the outcome of that bill because there's some issues that concern us greatly.
Well, and speaking of those issues, you recently did an interview with the Daily Courier and talked about some of those issues. Let's get those out in the open. I mean, there are real concerns. We are about safe campuses, and legislation like this can possibly make our campuses much more unsafe.
Right. So there's this, you know, folks have this mistaken belief that because they're carrying an item that they consider a non-lethal weapon, if there's no corresponding training that goes along with what that weapon is or how that is to be used appropriately, it actually can do more harm than good. An attacker can take the weapon from them. If they're not ready for an attack, the weapon may not be readily available. But just in the area of electronic stun gun technology alone, Lieutenant Payne shared with me a document from Taser that is 9 pages long of all the concerns that using a Taser creates for law enforcement. We have many, many well-trained officers here on campus, but they went through extensive training to carry these items. And the way this legislation is, there's no requirement for training.
Right. And what were some of the items that they were talking about in this legislation? Was it like pepper spray and tasers? And what were some of the items that could be available to people to conceal?
Well, the language initially did not define non-lethal weapon at all. There was no clarity at all. And it also stated that any person that was on our campus, so it wasn't limited to students, faculty, staff, anybody that came on our campus could carry a non-lethal weapon, but they could decide for themselves what that non-lethal weapon is. And that is concerning.
Now, and this could go over to Lieutenant Payne, do concealed carriers have to check their weapons in on when they come on campus? How does that work right now? Because there are many people in this community that are trained to operate firearms, and ostensibly they're coming to campus.
That's true. First of all, to go back to the non-lethal topic before I jump into that, I struggle with that phrase or that term. Less than lethal is more likely of what the, you know, what it should be phrased. But as far as concealed carry on campus, yes, when you come to Yavapai College, you're supposed to stop by the police department and check your weapon. And we have got storage bins at the police department for you to lock your weapon up and to recover your weapon when you leave campus. So our policy does also say that as long as your weapon or firearm is locked away and it concealed out of sight location within your vehicle, you also are within school policy. So.
Okay. Now, has this been a problem on the FPI College, say Prescott campus or the Verde campus? People seem to comply pretty regularly and stay in contact with you regarding this issue?
They do. In any instance that we do have someone that might forget to secure their weapon, they usually, staff is immediate to jump and say, hey, you are carrying a gun. You know, they'll call the police department, and if they don't feel comfortable making contact with the student, and then we'll make contact with the student and have them secure their firearms.
So. Very good. And moving to a larger national stage, I mean, there is either better reporting going on now in the news regarding campus shootings, or campus shootings are really on an uptick. And it is, it's a huge, huge concern in our society now. What's going on psychologically, sociologically, and within the policing community that can address this, educate people, and maybe stop these things from happening in the future?
Well, since January 1, 2018, we've had 18 school shootings, 200 and some people killed as a result of these mass killings. So like the chief said, training and education is very important. We can't just pass legislation that would allow just non-trained people to just carry whatever they want on college campuses or any school environment. Training and education is a very important piece. In getting out in front of this, we are, as a police department, looking at some self-defense courses for our students, staff, and faculty, and just some measures we can put in place that in the event that we do push forward in allowing less than lethal weapons to be carried on campus, we can offer some kind of a training or self-defense class to our students, staff, and faculty.
As law enforcement professionals, when you see on the news teachers talking about arming themselves, what does that elicit in you as professionals?
Well, right here at Yavapai College, our policy does allow for individuals who are competent and trained to make requests to me as the police chief to carry concealed. We do have faculty on this campus that are currently carrying concealed. We do have others on this campus that have reached out in other capacities, and they have been approved. So we know there are weapons on this campus, but we know who has them. Yavapai College has made a significant investment into the safety of our campuses and centers. We have well-trained police officers and safety personnel. We provide escort services, but we also work in partnership with student services and the care team. Because one of our biggest issues that we deal with are individuals who may be struggling with mental crisis, with some other emotional breakdown. And what we have seen in these shootings across the nation is the red flags that were evident and no one acted on them, and then it ended in a tragedy. Lieutenant Payne and my staff, working with Tanya and the student services and Judy Brennan and the care team, we want to intervene long before it becomes that big of a problem.
So it sounds like you feel that this type of sort of psychological intervention, this identification of students and other individuals who might have violent proclivities, getting to them and helping them with counseling before it ever becomes an event.
Absolutely. We want to be out in front of it. And I think on this campus, we have done that a number of times. We have wonderful partnerships. We've done all the mental health first aid training, not only for our police staff, but for various other staff members here at the college, so that we know the we can identify the behaviors that we're seeing. That's the other piece about students carrying non-lethal weapons. They may use that weapon on somebody that's acting strangely, but it's not aggressive, threatening
behavior.
Right, again,
they don't have the training to discern whether it's just aggressive activity that requires a lethal response. They're really not trained to do that sort of thing. Now, we do a lot of training here at Yavapai College regarding what we call it active shooter. So if there were an incident, talk about how you train the staff and what they're ready for.
Well, before we jump onto that, I went to a mass casualty committee meeting with the city of Prescott last night, and we actually got a pat on the back for our activity with our care team, there was a mental health professional in the audience, and I had put that out there. We have an active care team in place, and she just flat out said, you know, Yavapai College is doing a great thing with that, with the care team and the police department working hand in hand. Again, Tanya, Diana, that whole team, our care team, Judy, they're very beneficial to the mental health of our students and making sure that we, you know, create a safe environment. So as far as training goes, all of our police officers are required to go through an 8-hour, it's a mandated active shooter response for law enforcement, which is an advanced skill training, which is put on by a certified law enforcement response to active shooting or killing instructor. And this is 8 hours every year. This is in conjunction with their mandated range work they have to do as well. So what we're also adding to that piece is we're sending three this May to a tactical emergency casualty care class being put on by law enforcement, fire personnel, and emergency medical personnel here in the city. So we'll have three certified technicians that can respond to that kind of elevated incident if we were to have something like that. So YCPD is trying to get out, and we're trying to do everything we can, even though we're small, we're mighty,
mighty,
as the chief would
mighty,
say.
Mighty and
so, I agree.
Yeah, we're trying to get the most up and current training that we can have to make sure that we can provide a high level of service if we do have an incident. We're also looking into putting together a mass casualty incident training with City of Prescott Fire, Prescott PD, Tribal PD, VA Police, and Lifeline, and Native Air. And this incident, we're hoping, will be once a year. It'll be a full blown out mass casualty incident to where we can see how all the pieces work together. Peter is also included as our emergency management personnel. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that comes together.
What are some of the issues outside of mass casualty that you see day to day on college campuses like Yavapai? What are some of the other things you guys have to keep an eye out for to keep this campus safe?
Well, from time to time, we have individuals that simply, you know, they don't like certain rules that we have on campus. The no smoking, you know, we have designated smoking areas. So when we see individuals that are not obeying that rule, we try to steer them to the right location. But there are individuals that simply resist that. We bump into them on a regular basis. Where we're located, you know, policing in a free society is a challenge. Our campus is open. We're a community college, so we have individuals on our campus that are not students, but they're here using other facilities. And, you know, not knowing what their mental state is or welfare is all the time, we do get calls from time to time about individuals that are struggling with maybe mental crisis that are not students, and our police officers are responding to that. But for the most part, we have support from faculty. Actually had a faculty member one time. I was walking up to a young person who was smoking in a non-designated area. And before I got to him, the faculty member did and directed him to. So, you know, the support that the public safety function gets from faculty and staff and the administration, it's second to none. And I think that makes an overall safer community.
Right. And you guys do kind of a community policing type thing where you really try to establish relationships with students. So you're really friendly faces on campus as opposed to being a big brother type presence.
Kim, we see our mission as supporting the college's mission, and that is student success. Now, we do that through creating a safe environment, but the bottom line, our students are successful. They go on to achieve their educational goals, and that's our bottom line.
Very good. Well, we've got about 30 seconds left. Are there any resources that we want to point students to if they want to find out about campus safety, how we ensure their safety, or if parents are sending their kids here? What's the parting message that you would say to parents if they were going to send a child here to Yavapai College?
The message I would have for any student or parent wanting to send their child to or their young adult to Yavapai College would be to stop by the police department. Don't call. Don't email.
Stop
just
by.
Come by.
Because
come by
if they
and talk
look at
us.
You, they know their kid's going to be safe. And I know I'm going to be safe. Thank you both for being with us today. And good luck with the legislative work. Appreciate that. Time for a short break. We'll come back with Mike Davis.
A college education can get really expensive. That's why people choose Yavapai College. They've done the math. Yavapai's tuition is thousands less than a state or private university. Definitely the best choice for a low-cost, high-quality education with super supportive instructors. You can take credit classes to earn a degree or certificate, to transfer over to another institution, or simply for personal enjoyment. Register today at yc.edu. Yavapai College. Life explored.
Coast to Coast with George Norrie, 7 nights a week beginning at 11 on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA.
You're listening to Rough Rider Radio on KQNA. Once again, here's your host, Kim Capen.
And we are back with Michael Davis, Professor and Program Director of Administration of Justice and Paralegal Studies. That's a mouthful. Welcome, Mike. Great to have you on the show. You know, you are an outspoken person. You've got a lot on your mind. You've got a lot to say. But first, I'd like to hear a little bit about the programs that you're heading up.
Okay, well, the Administration of Justice program is really what most people would call criminal justice, okay? And so it's a 2-year degree that can prepare you to be a police officer, can prepare you to be a juvenile probation officer, can prepare you to go on to college, get a 4-year degree in criminal justice, FBI, Border Patrol, law school. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really a very broad degree. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't want to do a 2-year program or if that's too much to bite off, we have 3 certificates. And so we have a certificate that you can focus in on law enforcement and corrections, which would prepare you, obviously, for the criminal justice law enforcement field. We also have a justice studies certificate, which is a more philosophical look at the law.
Hmm. What can you do with that? Justice studies, that's something that I haven't heard of. Is that more an entree into teaching, possibly?
More an entree of either going on to a 4-year school or even getting a master's or PhD. It focuses more on the philosophy of law, theory of law, more than the law enforcement certificates allow more practical side where you study police. Mm-hmm. and investigative techniques and things like that. Justice studies, you'd be looking at criminology, constitutional law, broader topics. Mm-hmm. In the law. Mm-hmm. And we also have a 3rd certificate, which is in security, and there you'll have classes like terrorism, global crime, things like that. Mm. So it's looking at the whole kind of security and criminal law side of things. Now, all 3 of those certificates can be done in 1 year, mm-hmm. and we offer everything online. Although we do have in-person classes as well.
Let's talk a little bit about job prospects. And are there good jobs out there? We know, obviously, you've been an attorney for almost 40 years. So we
that
know
hurts
about
me.
I know it hurts you. But paralegal, I understand, can pay quite well and provide an excellent career, law enforcement, et cetera. What kind of jobs are out there? What's the data telling you these days?
Well, on the administration of justice side, the data is very good. I mean, right here in town, our sheriff's department is constantly hiring. Throughout the state, police agencies are having trouble getting recruits. But it's quite a nice job. You have to be 21 to be a police officer in this state to go into the academy. But you'll get a 20-year pension, and so you can have a second career after that. But job prospects in law enforcement, Border Patrol is hiring heavily right now. They're really quite good. One of the things that's an advantage about administration of justice is that there's so many jobs in that field. It covers everything from criminal investigators to police officers to lawyers to probation officers to juvenile, it really covers the gamut. And so whatever your interests are, you can find something there. Forensics is another popular avenue. On the paralegal side, we have a paralegal degree. That's 2 years. We also have a paralegal certificate that you can earn in 1 year, and you can quite easily begin to work after 1 year. Paralegal is typically in the top 10 growing fields in the nation year after year. Very popular. Basically, what a paralegal is they're someone who assists a lawyer in whatever way they might need. They're not allowed to practice law or give advice, but they do everything else. Mm. Most law firms now, most large firms have many paralegals. Most lawyers know you can't live without them. And it could be everything from trial preparation to interviewing witnesses to just being really skilled at organization, keeping track of files, billing. One of the hot areas in the paralegal field right now is computer skills. Lawyers that are my age don't even know how to turn a computer on, and a paralegal can come in and really upgrade the office, really organize the office. There's a tremendous amount of legal case management software, firm organization software, et cetera. And so many of these skills come second nature to younger people coming into the field now. So that's really a hot area, and we offer classes in that field and in that with those skills.
How can students find out a little bit more about how to get involved in your programs, which program to choose, et cetera? It sounds like there are a lot of choices, and really based on your areas of interest and your strengths and your personalities, you could go in any different direction here.
Yeah, that's the real power of the AJS degree for sure. Paralegal is a little more narrow, but keep in mind that there's, 50 different kinds of practice of law, right? Corporate, family, estate planning, tax, trial work, you know, on and on and on, personal injury. And so you can really find a field that you like. You can really find a piece of the action that you like. One easy way is to go to our website, yc.edu, and just type in paralegal studies or type in administration of justice, and you'll see links that will come up that will help guide you. You can also, right on our front page, click on the areas of study. That will take you to an administration link. It'll also take you to a paralegal link.
Excuse me. I had to turn off mic and cough. Anyway, yeah. So that's how to contact or get information on the programs.
You can also contact me directly at michael.davis@yc.edu. I am on sabbatical right now, but I do still check my email every day, and so I'll get back to you. But we can get you in touch with people at registration to help you get into our school, and we can also put you in touch with former students and things like that to really help you.
Very good. Well, there's a couple of areas I want to go to with you and in our remaining time.
Before you run to that, let me just add one thing that we have links with ASU and NAU where they accept all of our paralegal and AJS classes, and our programs link directly into them, not paralegal. Because that's a terminal degree, but on our AJS side, we link in with ASU and NAU to go on and get a bachelor's or even a master's. And
right, so it's sort of a seamless pathway. Meet with an advisor and sort of map out your path. You can not waste any time or waste credits and dollars and go straight from Yavapai to the institution of your choice.
And that was the magic word, meet with an advisor. Mm. Most of our students don't. Advisor will save you a lot of time and money and struggle, point you in the right direction.
Sound advice.
Indeed.
Let's talk a little bit about why you came from being a career attorney, very high-profile attorney. You went from the dark side to the light side of education.
Ah, yes.
Tell us a little bit about your career. You know, we were communicating, and you had mentioned you had actually gone up in court against a mob boss and lived to tell about it. Obviously, you're right here, and you're not carrying a horse's head or anything, and you're alive and well.
Very true. Well, if you've watched the movie Casino, Sharon Stone, Robert De Niro, et cetera, that's telling a true story about events in Las Vegas. That's where I first started practicing. And at one point in time, I had the lovely experience of going up against Oscar Goodman. He was the former, he's now recently been the mayor of Las Vegas. He kind of left the dark side. But for years, he was the mob's attorney, and everybody knew it. But he would go on 60 Minutes and, of course, tell Mike Wallace, "I've never heard of the mob. What are you talking about?" Okay. And so that involved Antony the Ant Spilotro, who in the movie Casino is actually later killed by the mob. when he decides to rat on them. So, yeah, that was fun. Now, what happened there is I was the youngest member of my firm. I wasn't married. And so they thought I was a perfect choice.
Sacrificial
to take
lamb.
On the mob. And I had a lot of fun with it. Mm. Ultimately, it settled. They didn't like the path that we were taking and the publicity that we were putting on the mob, because we had the brilliant idea to actually take known mob members, put them under oath in a deposition and ask, are you a member of the mob? That didn't go down very well, and so they settled the loss. So it was a good strategy. Mm-hmm.
Was Rico was around at that point,
Rico
correct?
Was around at that time. This was actually a private lawsuit, if you want to hear just 10 seconds about
sure.
it. Penthouse Magazine published an article about the resort called La Costa, and they said it's the vacation spot of the mob. Mm-hmm. La Costa didn't like that, obviously, because it's a family resort, et cetera, and so they sued Penthouse. Penthouse hired my firm to represent them. We came up with the beautiful strategy, since in a libel case, the truth is a defense, we would take known mobsters who had been reputed to vacation at La Costa and ask them under oath, are you a member of the mob? And as I said, that didn't go down very well. And so we eventually were able to settle that lawsuit. Mm.
Are you now or have you ever been a guest at La Costa Resort?
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. And you have also argued cases in front of the Nevada State Court of Appeals. You've worked on Wall Street. Really a very interesting career. Tell us a little bit about some of the highlights from both of those parts of your career.
Well, I had two parts to my career. I started out being a litigator, which means you're in court all the time, and that will wear you out. But I was lucky to be involved in some really high-profile national cases. I was involved in the largest trial in the history of America, which was the MGM Hotel fire. I was involved in the national asbestos litigation, where I wrote the national defense brief. If you're a waiter or a waitress out there, I'm sorry I lost your case in the U.S. Supreme Court. Which back in the 1980s, which ruled that you do have to pay taxes on your tips.
That was you?
That was me. Mm. But I will tell you that it was a fraudulent case. The IRS lied. We should have never lost.
Mm.
However, if you do any work in litigation with the IRS, you find out you do not win. So you have to accept that.
Mm.
And then I also went on to have a corporate career, which I did before I came into teaching. Where I was general counsel of three New York Stock Exchange companies, and including a Fortune 150. And so those were a lot of fun. But again, heading up a legal department and having lawyers report to you will also aid you. And so I actually started teaching while I was still in law school. Mm-hmm. I knew in law school that I'd love to teach. And so when I started to teach here at Yavapai, it was really a lifelong dream.
Mike, we have actually run out of time. This was the fastest segment that we have
How
ever had.
How could that be?
Well, you know, you're an interesting guy, and that was fascinating stuff. We're going to have you come back. Do want to talk about the New Testament, and you're giving. You could talk about just the threads that you'll go through in our last 30 seconds here, and let us know what that talk is about. You've got an interesting take on it.
Next Thursday, 12 o'clock at the Yavapai Library, Yavapai College Library. Talking on who wrote the New Testament, and you might be surprised at the information that we have, so come join me. You won't be sorry.
Great. Mike Davis, thanks for being with us today. Time for another break. Stay tuned. We'll be back with some parting words.
Yavapai College is your community college with 6 campus locations throughout Yavapai County, offering a wide variety of quality, affordable academic programs and job training that's designed to get you working quickly. Stay connected with Yavapai College through social media and receive the latest news about Performing Arts Center shows, art exhibitions, upcoming enrollment dates, course schedules, and more. It's all available by just visiting the college website at yc.edu. Now, let's return to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen. You've been listening to Rough Rider Radio with your host, Kim Capen. The views expressed on today's show are solely those of Yavapai College and do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our sponsors. Join us next Saturday at 12:30 for Rough Rider Radio on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Rough Rider Radio was paid for by Yavapai College and were solely responsible for its content.